So when we think of the drama cycle that I've referred to numerous times within abusive relationships, we have to think of ourselves as being in that. It's a bit like a dance that both partners have come to know all of the steps in and the tune and the rhythm. Not only do we follow the behavior and the emotional ups and downs of our partner, but also there's some reaction to us as well. When we turn up to rescue them, we actually encourage the cycle to calm down. And when we react to abuse and try to defend ourselves, we encourage the cycle to become more intense. It isn't just happening to us. We have to realize we are turning up for it. We are there. If we weren't there, we wouldn't be able to receive abuse and there wouldn't be a drama cycle that we were inside of. But breaking out of this drama cycle is incredibly challenging because it is usually very well established and our abusive partners have really come to understand which behaviors influence us the most, and we've come to understand which behaviors help this drama cycle to calm down. So we've learned to accept the blame, to try and be apologetic, to take what behaviors are coming, and to really not irritate our partner any more than they're already irritated. And herein lies the biggest outcome when we leave. When we leave our abusive partner, we are actually throwing something of a bomb into this drama cycle. We are no longer following the dance and we are irritating all of the psychological coping systems that both people in that relationship have. And it's important to realize that both sides are going to have a very dramatic reaction to this. The abusive partner is going to feel a tremendous sense of rejection or insult or injustice, and we are going to feel a tremendous increase in those emotions, fear, obligation, guilt, and shame, because these were the emotions that held us in that relationship and drive us through the cycle. And we can expect really any type of emotional reaction from our partner in terms of their behavior, from absolute rage to what seems like total detachment and disinterest in us. Because their behavior, whether it's conscious or not, has become very expert in manipulating our responses. And so whether it's rage or whether it's detachment, those behaviors are really being displayed and that response is existing to create a reaction in us, usually to really accelerate and add fuel to those emotions, fear, obligation, guilt, and shame. The one emotion that really throws us, and we have to be very careful about, is when what we actually seem to be receiving is a very calm, reflected, and loving reaction from our abusive partner. Because this is something that can confuse us, it can make us start to question our decision, and can seemingly suggest that this leaving of our partner has woken them up as well, and they've realized the error of their ways, and what we're seeing is this return of this soulmate, and if we just go back, we'll probably be able to access that. And it's important to recognize that's an illusion, and also in abusive cycles, it's a behavior that has been learned by the abusive partner to be effective in bringing us close. And also we have learned that it connects to us being able to feel calm. We feel relaxed and relief when we get that emotion. And so when we're in this heightened state of stress when we leave, it seems very appealing to connect with that. And just thinking about what it's like to leave. When we leave these relationships, we can expect our inner world to feel extremely stressful. We can expect fear to be very present for lots of reasons. Not only the fear of our ex and potentially what they'll do, but also the fear of our ability to survive, the future of our self-worth, and of whether we're going to be able to make anything of this escape. Alongside this is a very deep sense of obligation, which has been built up in us during the relationship in which we've experienced traumas and abuse and fear, and we've come to learn that submission and concession and apology really are necessary, not only to maintain the peace, but also to access our own self-worth. We've come to understand that it's our obligation, it's our duty to look after our partner and to be the best partner we can be. And we're certainly not being that best partner when we leave our lover. And so obligation really rises up. And alongside obligation, of course, we then experience guilt, because we're noticing that we are causing this distress in this person we're obligated to look after. And this distress is coming from the fact that we're rejecting them. And we know, or we believe, they're vulnerable and they're weak, and it's really our fault. On some level, we believe that, even if we're striving to believe something else. And so guilt rears itself. And in the mix of all of that, we're trying to justify, we're trying to find any thread that justifies to us that we're making the right decision, it's right to leave. But in the mix of that, we've got all of this narrative, all of this description of us, which is unpleasant, this justification that ultimately we are not a worthy individual, we've been causing pain to our partner, we're the blame, we're the cause of all of these problems. And actually, we justify we should be hated and we should be rejected and we're probably not lovable. And in all of that, we experience a deep shame that potentially holds us away from accessing help in others and also pushes us back to a person who ultimately may accept us in brief moments, which is very appealing. And all of these emotions, they're experienced really as an inner storm that can feel very impossible to settle down. And this feeling or this difficulty in settling these emotions, for many people, is very real. It's not an imagined state. It's because during the relationship, our emotional regulation, our ability to manage our emotions was given up. We were either calm or fearful, stressed or relieved, based on how our partner was treating us and how their emotions were in relation to us. In the drama cycle, that we cannot be calm when our partner is abusing us and stressed, we have to be stressed. And it's really important for us to be relieved and relaxed when our partner wants to access love with us again, or wants to apologize, or wants to reconnect, because we want to match them. We don't want to irritate them and return to the drama cycle. And over the many years or months, whatever your period of relationship, we're trained to give up our emotional regulation, and it is managed externally by our partners. And so we're in this really difficult bind where the only way for a long time we've been able to calm down was to experience our partner as being calm, for them to communicate to us that we were worthy and for us to experience some sense of relief, or just for the abuse to stop so that we would experience relief. And the reason this is a bind is because we have the additional component that we're addicted to this cycle, we're pulled to it. Not because it offered us any pleasant sensations like maybe alcohol or a drug might offer to people, but simply because on a biological level, these hormones that have been released at the intensity in which they were released and the frequency are addictive to us. And so at this very point where we are trying to stay away, we're trying to get freedom, we're experiencing all these emotions that are telling us we're wrong, and we're experiencing that we cannot calm down without our partner being calm, and of course they're not going to be calm because we're irritating them by rejecting them, and we're also feeling this pull back. We find ourselves in this really distressed and disempowered state where our entire being, our reward system, our emotional regulation system, our belief system, and our self-worth are all linked to one drug that fixes it all, the love of our partner. Or to put it more accurately, the dysfunctional love of our partner. Because whether we see it or not at that time, what we're craving is something that's very damaging to us, but we're really blind to see it at that moment. We're never more blind than in those moments where we feel pulled back to the person we're trying to escape. And in those moments, this is where everything in Act One. All of the learning about the psychology, about the addiction, about the fogs become most empowering to us. We need to understand our feelings and not be confused by them. We need to understand that we are not missing a person that we love, but we are drawn back to a cycle that we have become codependent on, we are addicted to, and we are driven to through these unpleasant emotions that have emerged in us because of the experience of having prolonged abuse. This new world in which we're in on our own and we've rejected our partner, it doesn't seem to offer a place in the future where we're going to feel calm. We have lost any sense, if we ever had it, of understanding how to feel calm, how to feel worth, without our partner feeling calm and telling us everything is now okay. And that can feel very alien. At least in that relationship, we knew at some point calm was going to come. The abuse was not unrelenting. There'd be periods where there'd be breaks. We'd be able to calm down and get relief. And sometimes we'd experience worth and expressions of love. But now looking into the future, it can seem like that's just not going to happen. We're going to be held in this high distress state, battling against a partner we've rejected, struggling with the end of that relationship, with no light at the end of the tunnel. And this is why in those moments, as bizarre as it sounds, people go back, because going back at least feels like there could be some relief, even if it's momentary. And for many of us, we don't feel we have the resilience, we don't feel we can cope with this long drawn out stress and challenge of emotions that we are facing in trying to get away. And this can be experienced in many different ways. The fear of staying out on our own pushes us back. The obligation, the guilt of leaving our partner and making them feel upset pushes us back. The shame in ourselves for what we're trying to do or the life we've lived, and our inability to get support means that we're left only with this partner to go back to. The addictive pull, which we confuse for love, and we make the mistake that we're missing someone we need, rather than we're needing this drug that we've become addicted to, but ultimately is very unhelpful to us and damaging. Or just the confusion, the inability to know our own story and to understand why all of this is so difficult. This is where it's most important for us to understand how we stay away. And while we're staying away, to start retelling our story, to understand how the learning in Act One empowers us and enables us to see what's really going on so that we can break out and we are motivated to break out. In the abuse sector and in the therapy sector, it's almost a repeated mantra that people are constantly saying to their clients, don't go back to your ex, don't go back, don't contact them, it's risky. And it reveals that to people like us, we see many people go back when they really shouldn't, and they are saying they don't want to. But even in that context, we see many return. But something's often lost in that story, which is that for us who are trying to stay out, we can become frustrated. I can connect with this as a truth in myself. We know that it is best for us to stay away and can find ourselves feeling the urge to go back, feeling the urge to make contact, to somehow get closure, to reassure our partner that things will be fine, and increasing the risk that we will actually fall asleep again and return back into that relationship and lose the insight we've got and the motivation to build a better life. And so that's why in the Goggle program, we added in this section, the act of staying away, because at this point when we leave, there's a really important need for us, and that need is to stay away. And staying away in the context of not yet being able to see the positivity and the happiness we might achieve in our future, which is an incredibly difficult thing for humans. We're goal-driven, and most people, if they're ever trying to achieve anything, will set a goal. But when we're totally unable to see that goal, when we have learned helplessness and we just cannot see life outside of what it already is, or we cannot see life outside of this pain we've created in leaving, we can find ourselves really struggling to understand what we are working for, what we're fighting for. And so rather than trying to build a very clear goal for ourselves in the future, we have to realize what our past contained, retelling our story with Act One. And then we have to expect that we're going to feel this pull to go back, we're going to feel confused, but that's just part of the journey. And to make it easier for ourselves, or to at least give ourselves tools to use to enable us to eventually see the positivity in our future and to experience self-worth arriving and all of these things we want, freedom, self-worth, love, we need to commit to two things. We need to commit to going cold turkey, to going zero contact with our ex, and we need to commit to getting support. And we're going to talk about both of these in the next two audios.